Welcome into a fresh episode of Fireside Sports, presented by Oregon Sports News. I'm your host, Casey Mabbitt. Well, we all survived the 4th of July, at least I hope you did. I did. I've got a special guest I'm going to bring in that I think did survive the 4th, and we'll find out, I guess. He was on the line, so I guess we'll find out. But a lot going on. We've got the NFL, or sorry, not the NFL. NFL's not back yet. Sorry, that's next month. That's a teaser there. That's what they teach you in radio school. But we do have the NBA Summer League. We have the NBA Draft. We have NBA Free Agency. A lot of players changing teams. Some have not. We're not sure which ones we're happy with yet. I guess we'll find that out later. The Blazers have done some things. They've also not done some things, and more on that also. But first things first, I want to bring in my special co-host, Bryant Knox. Bryant Knox of Oregon Sports News, of many other websites as well. He's a man out there. He's got his name out there, and we're damn glad to hear about it because he's such a talent, folks. If you haven't followed him on Twitter already, please do so, at Bryant Knox. Bryant, how are you doing? And welcome back to town. It's, you know, the 4th happened last week. Hopefully you got all your digits left. How are you doing?
I'm good. My closest sources indicate that I survived the 4th of July, so I'm going to trust those guys.
I have never shared a podcast with a ghost before, so it's like the undercover cop thing. If I ask you, you have to tell me. I'm not going to ask you this time. I want you to have some fun with it for a little while, but down the road, if you're comfortable, I want you to tell me if you're a ghost. We're accepting society now, and I want you to be able to tell me if you are.
Yeah, this is 2018. I can exactly be a ghost if I want to be a ghost. And you know what? I'll let you know.
You can be the ghost with the most. We don't know. And
I'll let.
So, first things first, the 4th of July was last week. Before that, we had the end of the NBA draft. We had the start of NBA free agency. We've now come up on the first week of it. Some things happened early on, and not a lot has happened since. But just to recap, and I want your reaction to this, so I hope you're taking really, really detailed notes. I know you're a note guy. So first thing is the Blazers did not re-sign Ed Davis. That was the first move they made. And he then signed with Brooklyn on a one-year deal worth $4.4 million. We've since learned that Neil Olshey, in fact, directed him to do that. I don't know how to feel about that. We'll get to that in a minute. We also re-signed Yusuf Nurkic to a four-year, $48 million deal, averages $12 million a year. It's a good deal. It's cheaper than the one that he could have signed during the season and also cheaper than the one that he probably could have signed elsewhere. So I feel like that's a win. And then you signed Seth Curry, who's, I guess, a backup point guard. We're not really sure what to make of him yet. He's spent so much time in developmental stages of his career. We're not sure where he's at. He's 27 years old. Still a relatively young player in his prime years, but we're not really sure what to expect from him. And then I apologize in advance for butchering this name, but Nick Stauskas, the young 24-year-old guard from New Jersey, or sorry, Brooklyn. My apologies to Jay-Z, it's Brooklyn. So you have those four moves coupled with not re-signing Shabazz Napier or Pat Connaughton. Bryant, knee-jerk reaction to all that, is that what you were hoping to see, not hoping to see, somewhere in between? Where do you lie in that?
Well, first and foremost, if you can't pronounce Nick Stauskas correctly, just go with Sauce Castillo. That is his official nickname. I don't know if you caught this, but for anybody who didn't, when he was playing for the Sacramento Kings back in his rookie year, there was a weird TV closed captioning glitch where he, during a post-game interview, the interviewer said his name, Nick Stauskas, but the captions on the TV wrote Sauce Castillo. He's been a spokesperson for like Tapatio and other hot sauces ever since the 2014-15 season. So Genius. Honestly, whether you can pronounce it or not, I don't even want to hear the name Nick Stauskas. I want to hear Sauce Castillo. I want to hear Mr. Castillo every single time we talk about him. So
Can we go forward saying it's going to be Senor Castillo?
Senor Sauce Castillo. That's
perfect.
You know, it was Senor Sauce. Give me Senor Sauce, and I'm happy with it.
There we go.
As far as the Blazers overall go, you know, I think this was kind of what we should have expected. I think a lot of people had some high hopes, some pipe dreams. And I think you and I talked about some of those pipe dreams in the last few weeks leading up to free agency. So to kind of break down each individual move, first and foremost, let's just start with the big one, Yusuf Nurkic. I think that was a great move. Now, what I don't think is that we should look at this move and say, Neil Olsh, you are officially excused for all of your other maybe not so great moves,
right,
because of this one. You know, I think you can look at this move and you can say, hey, there should have been some other things before it and around it that were better, and that's unfortunate. But if I'm going to take the high road here, which I'm going to try to do, look at this, and you can say, hey, Yusuf Nurkic this next season is going to make $1.5 million more than Myers Leonard. And that is actually great for Portland. If you were concerned, as I was, that he was going to make a max contract or something close to it. Now, obviously, a lot of the money from the 2016 free agency that was spent and thrown out there, cough, cough, Evan Turner, and so many other guys, makes it really difficult to pay big men in this particular market. And so I think that that helped Portland in its negotiations. It's unfortunate for Yusuf Nurkic, who was really hoping for something closer to a max. But with all that mystery behind us, it makes sense what he got, and I like the deal. Then, speaking of big men, if we want to transition to Ed Davis, letting him walk for that amount of money was ridiculous. Like, I know I just talked up Neil Olshey just a little bit for making a good move, but like I said, that one good move doesn't necessarily take away from all the not-so-ideal moves, and letting Ed Davis walk for $4 million on a one-year deal is a less-than-ideal move, because Ed Davis, sure, if Olshey wants to talk about how Davis doesn't provide the floor spacing that you need in today's NBA, that's fine. I totally get that. But that's only a valid argument if you're looking to pay him $8, $9, $10, $12 million. At $4 million, four and a half at 1 year, you can find a space for him on your roster as sort of a mini enforcer, and it's kind of unfortunate to see him go for that. Just going down the list here, I'll make these next ones more quick. Letting Shabazz go, I'm okay with. Letting Pat Connaughton go, Pat Connaughton was always a guy who was either going to – it was very binary with him. He was either going to find a spot on the roster as a slasher and three-point shooter, or he wasn't. There wasn't really a middle ground there. So the fact that up to this point, the best thing he's known for is like a 98-mile-per-hour fastball, I'm okay letting him go, because right, that doesn't do anything for you here. Seth Curry is a really nice gamble, because you got him for cheap. You got him on multi-years. And he's coming off an injury. I can't remember exactly what the injury was, to be honest. I apologize. But you got him for cheap because of that. And he's now hungry to prove that he can not only live up to the Curry name, not even just talking about Steph, but his dad, Del Curry, another very great shooter. You have another Curry looking to make a name for himself, which I think is great. You have someone who's going to come in even cheaper than Shabazz Napier. Now, I don't think Seth Curry is as well-rounded as Shabazz. Shabazz really proved this last year that he can step up and play a role, especially when Damian Lillard was out. And I think that was great. I respect him for that. But Seth Curry has a chance to now prove that he can step in and, you know, maybe spend the next 2 years building up his name for his next and maybe last contract in the NBA. And I think it's great to have somebody who's super hungry, super unproven, but with a lot of potential behind a first-team All-NBA point guard. Now, if Portland didn't have a steady point guard, I might question this signing a little bit more. But with a very, very obviously steady backcourt that you can throw in Seth Curry as needed, I think it's a great move. So, yeah, I think there were a couple great moves, a couple curious moves. Overall, I'm not going to give the offseason a grade or anything like that, but that's my take on each of the major moves so far.
Well, I guess my question is, if you say Ed Davis is not worth 4.4, and by you, I mean Neil Olshey.
Yep.
And then you go and you say the reason for that is you want to stretch the court and you think that a combination or a tandem or a team of Zach Collins, Caleb Swanigan, and Myers Leonard can fill that void, which they probably can. We're not talking about the best player in the NBA, but Ed Davis is very, very good at what we do ask him to do. you're now saying that you don't want him because he doesn't stretch the floor, and you think that your three guys can fill in for him, which doesn't make sense to me, because if you're getting rid of him because he doesn't stretch the floor, it shouldn't matter if you have players available or not, because you're getting rid of him to build a theme here. But then you turn around and spend big money on a big man who doesn't stretch the floor, who's mercurial and we can't figure out, and he is sometimes sulking so much in the fourth quarter that he doesn't play the end of games. How do you round all that out? And then in turn, you also don't re-sign Shabazz or Pat, who you had the bird rights to, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong there, to go after two guys you do not and will not have the bird rights to. So now you've overextended your finances while making claims about players that don't necessarily add up.
I'm still okay with those other moves overall, but the Ed Davis one remains confusing to me. You know, like I said, if he was going to push double-digit $1 million, that's when you start to question whether or not you want to bring him back. But the thing is, in my opinion, and this is subjective, maybe even a little biased, I think he was arguably the best backup center in the NBA.
Right.
I think that what Olshay was looking at was more rotations. Right. Because to re-sign Nurkic is okay, because you have Aminu, who's proven he can hit a three-point shot at the power forward. That allows you to space the floor a little more. You still have questions as to whether or not your small forward can do that, because you really don't know if Mo Harkless is your small forward of the future. You don't know if he's going to be able to hit that three-point shot regularly. So you still have questions there. But in the starting lineup, you're okay with Yusuf Nurkic there not spreading the floor. That's fine. It comes down to the second unit. And so from a rotation standpoint, yeah, Ed Davis doesn't quite get the job done as far as spacing the floor goes. But man, he got the hustle points. He rebounded. I mean, he's always been a rebounding machine, especially on the offensive end, which is just such a luxury to create extra possessions and extra points. And he's a shot blocker. He's an enforcer. He's not afraid to hit somebody hard. He's not afraid to be tossed from a game.
He's called Fizz Ed for a reason.
Exactly. And so to not bring him back for that reason, when you could have gotten him on the cheap, and you know, you don't even have to use him every game. Use him in situational spots.
Not everybody plays small ball anyway.
Exactly. So it's very confusing to me to let him, especially knowing what he signed for.
Well, and he probably would have taken less than 4.4. He took the best deal on the table. I feel like if Portland offered him a little bit, but the rumor we hear now, and actually it came straight from Neil Olshay, is that he didn't even make an offer to Ed. So that's sad. But the funny thing... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say it is, but it's also kind of Neil Olshay's MO. He didn't make Wes Matthews a deal.
Right.
Or an offer. And we can kind of understand with Wes Matthews because of his Achilles injury. You never know what it's going to look like. But then when you have a team like Dallas, admittedly overpaying and giving him a max, but still giving him a max contract, you look at that and you say, man, we could have at least made him an offer, show the respect there, right. Which is tough.
Well, I saw a really interesting article on Blazers Edge today or yesterday asking the question of who could Portland go get that would be the new Buck Williams. And I was like, we just got rid of the Buck Williams of this team in my eyes. I mean, he played like him. He had a similar style. He's got that six-man presence. I know Buck Williams was a starter, but you've already got so much in the front court. You can't necessarily say that's what he would do today, and especially in today's type of play. But I just found it sad that we're trying to figure out who we can trade away to get that same type of player back. We could have just paid the man, and then we also could have gotten Shabazz and Pat back to really, I mean, don't get me wrong, Sauce and Seth could end up being great players for us, and like you already mentioned, they came on the cheap. But those two players combined were gotten for $4.25 million, roughly, and Ed walked for $4.4 million. So to me, that's the Trailblazers saying he's not worth $150,000. And
sure,
that stands to the average fan.
Unfortunately, that's kind of been Neil Olshay's MO at this point, is he has been very, very excited about tooting his own horn for value pickups. Right, he got Mo Harkless for a future second-round pick. He got Shabazz Napier on the cheap. He got Wade Baldwin on the cheap. He has yet to be able to secure, as we've talked about many times, a Paul George or a Carmelo Anthony or anybody who has any sort of national relevance or significance, he has been trying to compliment the guys that he brought in, and that's just hasn't been enough up to this point. So, of course, you have to assume it's not going to be enough this time as well. It's obviously unfair to say that this early in the game. We don't know exactly what we're going to get from Seth Curry or Nick Stauskas, but what we do know is that these guys are very on brand for Olshay when you look at them in comparison to the other guys he's picked up.
Well, you got a point guard and a shooting guard, and you got rid of a point guard and a shooting guard, but you also drafted a shooting guard and a shooting guard. So we're going pretty guard heavy here. We got, I mean, if they're all in on small ball, and they certainly seem to be, I guess they'll have the depth to do it. But it just seems like you're playing the future game at this point. You're not doing enough for the present. But we'll just have to wait and see. I know that's our favorite phrase these days, but that's what we have to live with. And then speaking of the rookies and the younger players, we've got Portland in Summer League. They've looked sharp so far. They're 3-0 going into tournament play. What have you seen from them so far that you've liked? I know it's a guard-heavy lineup, as it always is, and you've got Collins, who's averaging one injury per game or per game week. I mean, he had the headbutting with Caleb Swanigan that broke his nose before the first game. Then he hurt his ankle in the second game. I haven't heard what his injury was in the third game, but I'm sure there was one. He just seems to get beat up by these B-squatters who are playing really hard and really heavy trying to earn roster spots. What have you seen from Portland that you've liked, I guess, is the first question. And furthermore, have you seen enough from Anfernee Simons to get you excited about why he was drafted?
I like the fact that Zach Collins is getting beat up, and I'll tell you why. It's because he doesn't believe that he's too good for Summer League. I saw a very interesting quote from Jaylen Brown of the Boston Celtics the other day where he said, "I'm not too good for Summer League. I'm not afraid to play in Summer League. I think I might even play one game at the very end." And it's like, okay, you know, I'm not expecting you, somebody who has a very solid rotation spot in the Boston Celtics lineup, probably going to be the best team in the East next year. I don't expect that dude to come out and play in Summer League, but if you're going to tout yourself as someone who's not too good for Summer League, play the whole thing, right? Play 7-8 minutes a game, get out there with the young guys. Don't be like, "I'm not too good for Summer League. I might play a game at the very end." I don't need to hear that. No. What I like is Zach Collins, who started out of the rotation last year, worked his way into the rotation, became a very subtle fan favorite, and is now out there working hard. I like to see that. The other thing that I like to see is Caleb Swanigan coming out and making a name for himself again in a guard, I guess we can call it a league. It's more of a tournament.
Right.
But I really, really like seeing him.
He got a three-point shot.
Yeah, I like seeing him spread the court, which Olshay apparently loves as well.
Right.
I like seeing him being out there because he was kind of the Summer League surprise last season.
Right.
And then he was very humbled by not getting into games. I think he still has to work on his conditioning. He's a big guy, but he has to work on his strength a little bit, and rounding out his game is definitely a goal of his. So to see him come out there and do this yet again is really, really nice in a guard-oriented league. To address your Anfernee Simons question, man, I am a big fan of what I've seen.
Did you like the dunk?
I feel like I love the dunk. The dude has two things really going for him as far as Summer League is concerned. First of all, he has bunnies, right? He can get up. He can hop. He can finish above the rim just about as easy as anybody. And maybe that has a lot to do with his athleticism. Maybe that has to do with the fact that he has probably negative 5% body fat if you've ever looked at him. Like, he looks like he can get up. And yes, he can get up.
Right.
But what I really like about him from an NBA skill set standpoint, he has a quick shot. His jump shot is fast. I mean, you and I have talked about how Myers Leonard's downfall is the fact that he cannot get the ball off even if he has 10 feet of space. With Anthony Simons, you give him 10 inches, and he's going to get the shot off Allen, like he's Jesus Shuttlesworth, right? like that's one thing.
He's got game.
He got game, no doubt about it. I'm very excited to see what he can do. I do think that he's going to spend the next year in the G League for the most part, just because he didn't get that sort of next level experience by skipping college. And I think that the G League is going to be very valuable for him to not only, you know, put on some weight, maybe get to 0% body fat instead of -5, but also be able to get that shot off quickly against really fast defensive rotations. And I think that he is a very exciting prospect that Portland's not going to see much of this year. But, you know, not to get way too far ahead of myself here, but let's say someone like CJ McCollum becomes expendable at some point in the eyes of Neil Olshey. All of a sudden, you have a guy with a few very desirable NBA skills who can jump in. And if you've seen him prove himself in the G League, man, you have somebody who is high risk, medium to high reward, but you used a late first round pick on it, and that's exciting.
So, casual fan, what can they take away from this? I mean, we've seen Damian and CJ absolutely destroy the summer league. We've seen other guys do it, like Noah Vonleh, who didn't really amount to much at the NBA level. What can the average fan take away from this? Is this just fun to watch, and we'll see what happens in the regular season? I mean, Swanigan was a star last year, and this year he's right back where he started, kind of. You've got Collins, who barely played last year in the summer league. Then he had a really good showing in the regular season. He got some surprising amount of minutes. And then this year, here he is back in the summer league. He's not dominating, but he's not struggling either. But he's getting banged up. What do you take away from this? What goes into the regular season from summer league that we can actually use?
Honestly, not a lot at this point. I think it's a lot of fun to watch. And you know, I don't say not a lot in the sense that people shouldn't watch, because it's really nice to see some of these names out there. But I do think that someone like Zach Collins is the person that if you're going to try to translate something to the regular season, that's who you want to look at, because you want to see how tough he's playing. You want to see, is he able to spread the court? You want to see, is he able to defend the rim? Is he going to run the pick and roll well? That's somebody who you're going to look at and say, yes, looking at him now, I can see how it's going to translate. Everybody else is more of a future thing, and that includes Anthony Simons. So my advice when watching Summer League would be take mental notes, sit back, relax, and enjoy it, and then go to a bar with your buddies and talk about how Anthony Simons is going to be the next great thing maybe 3 years from now, because you'll look brilliant 3 years from now.
Before we move on to the next segment, what should the learning curve be, or the rate of repeat for people that say Simmons instead of Simons? Do you have any advice there? There's quite a few of those people.
There are. Hey, my advice would be watch basketball, because if you're watching the games, you're going to hear the majority of people say the name correctly. If you're just sitting back, maybe reading headlines, right? There's been a time in my life where I was guilty of just reading headlines and claiming I knew everything that was going on. You don't get everything, and so you're going to look at this. No, actually watch basketball, and if you're doing that, you're going to figure it out.
This doesn't necessarily apply. Sorry for the disclaimer on your behalf, but this doesn't necessarily apply to the Greek Freak. That name isn't necessarily pronounceable, so don't necessarily learn on that one. But if you're already saying Simmons, try to say Simons. That's the rule here. So moving on to the NBA as we know it, there's been a lot of changes in the last week, Bryant. We have LeBron went to the Lakers. You had Paul George re-signed with OKC. You have probably some other big names moving that I'm blanking on right now. But you've got new looks everywhere. I mean, you have DeAndre Jordan, who went out to the Mavericks. You had the Suns, who got two new draft picks. You have the Mavericks, who got a new draft pick. They may not bring Dirk back. We'll find out later. You have the Spurs, who haven't really done anything except for lose a couple of players. Maybe another one's left to go. You have Minnesota, who may or may not want Jimmy Butler out. He may want out. We're not really sure how that's going to play out. What do you see when you look at the Western Conference versus the Blazers? We talked a little bit earlier about the moves they made or didn't make. Does that make them better than they were last year when they were the number three seed in the Western Conference? Not necessarily that that means much, granted, as everybody was in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth seed. But you've also got Trevor Ariza left Houston. That's going to matter. What do you make of the Blazers' chances going into 2018-2019? Are they going to have a shot at the playoffs, or is the West going to be even more crazy than ever?
Yeah, they'll have a shot at the playoffs, but the way you have to look at it is that it is getting tougher and tougher. And by the way, the most surprising move, hands down, was DeMarcus Boogie Cousins to the Warriors. Nobody saw that coming. Not national media members, not local media members in either the New Orleans or the Golden State market. That move was just such a shocker to everybody, especially at the value they signed him at. But beyond that...
Well, hold on. Going back to Boogie real quick.
Yeah.
How close was Portland to getting that guy? Because the rumors that are swirling are that Portland had a deal in place, but because it would potentially negatively impact Yusuf Nurkic's ability to get his own deal, and they share the same agent, Boogie did not come to Portland, even though that deal was very much almost going to happen. What's your take on that? What have you heard on that, and what do you think of that?
Yeah, I'm not buying it, to be honest. I think that it's the report that came out is very real. There was a conflict of interest with Yusuf Nurkic having the same agent as DeMarcus Cousins. And quite frankly, there were some complications there, I believe that. But in my opinion, based on what I'm hearing and what I believe, if DeMarcus Cousins wanted to play for Portland, he would be playing for Portland right now.
Right.
They would have figured out how to get past those complications. They would have gotten Yusuf Nurkic maybe even a bigger contract to lock in with the New Orleans Pelicans, which I think wouldn't have been a terrible thing. I think that Anthony Davis is the kind of guy who can spread a floor and can run a court and can complement someone like Yusuf pretty well. So if Boogie Cousins wanted to play in Portland, they could have made it happen. But I fully believe Boogie Cousins had no interest right in playing in Portland. And at this point, he's going to go play for a championship contender on a minimum contract or a minimum luxury tax contract, luxury tax payer contract.
And he'll have pressure to get back. Zero.
Zero pressure.
He'll get healthy when he wants.
He'll play 30, 40 games this year. He'll prove that he can still play, and then he'll get a bigger deal next year with somebody else. And by the way, it still won't be Portland because he just doesn't want to play for the Blazers, which, right, in my opinion, is the biggest reason this didn't happen, not because he shares an agent with Nurkic.
Sure. Which, you know, that's probably a win for Portland on the whole because that's probably not a guy you really could use in your locker room right now. They've got enough struggles right now as it is. I don't know that losing Nurk and gaining Cousins really is a net add so much as a net problem. And I don't think that that brings enough star power either. As good of a center as Cousins is he head and shoulders better than Nurkic? Probably not. And he would have come at a bigger payday also. So I think in the end it probably worked out better for both sides. I don't like how scary Golden State got, but it probably works out better that Nurkic is back and he's at a reasonable deal, even though now they've got to deal with Golden State plus Boogie Cousins.
Yeah, yeah. But to go back to your question of where does Portland stand, you know, looking at this, you have to assume a couple things. For starters, the Lakers are in the playoffs, right? We can just assume that at this point.
Probably top five at least.
Oh, for sure. They're looking at home court advantage because of LeBron James alone. Mm-hmm. I mean, this could be a topic in and of itself for an entire podcast, but LeBron really is not expecting to compete for a championship this year. He is looking at this roster and looking at their cap space for not only this summer, but next summer. And he's looking at 2019 as their first official window for a championship based on not only what they're able to do, but the question marks that Golden State is going to come up against as well. So No, I don't think the Lakers are a shoe-in for a title. But, yeah, we can sign them up for the playoffs right now and feel very comfortable with that.
Right.
Which means you have, in the brutal Western Conference, another team competing for a playoff spot. I think Minnesota is going to be better this year because they're probably going to remain healthy, and even if they have to trade Jimmy Butler, they're going to get something back for him. New Orleans, yeah, they just lost Boogie Cousins, but they picked up Julius Randle from the Lakers, and they're going to have him healthy for a full year, which is a fantastic move for them.
And they already had Mirotić, and he's going to be healthy for a full year this time, and he'll be
exactly
there the year, so you get more, even more gelling on the court.
Exactly, and the Oklahoma City Thunder are about to lose Carmelo Anthony, which is going to make them better by subtraction, let's be very honest here.
40 missed shots a game, don't have to worry about that anymore.
The Denver Nuggets were the ninth seed, and I truly believe that with Paul Millsap healthy, they could make the playoffs as well, which means out of all of those teams, the only one that's really looking to drop down is the San Antonio Spurs. Man, we could do another whole podcast on the Spurs. Don't get me wrong. Kawhi Leonard's about to be gone. Tony Parker already is gone. How weird is that? He's going to play for the Charlotte Hornets next year. They just lost Kyle Anderson to the Memphis Grizzlies. You don't think of him as being an important piece, but he was a great defender who could also hit a three-pointer. Like, the Spurs, if anybody in the West is going to miss the playoffs this year who made it last year, it's the Spurs. They're going to be out. But that means you have one team removed and two teams in the Lakers and Nuggets added. So you're looking at one team who's also probably going to be kicked out. And I'm not going to go on record as saying it's like Portland or Utah, but I think those are the two teams that are going to struggle this next year more than they did during the regular season this year.
Well, and even if San Antonio does officially go through as trading Kawhi, which is everybody seems to think that's going to happen, they still have LaMarcus. They still have a really talented team. They still got Greg Popovich. Something to consider is they only had Leonard for 9 games last year, and they finished as the number 6 seed. You can't necessarily just count them out if Parker's gone, because they had Patty Mills playing point guard for them most of the year. Parker hasn't been himself for a long time. You can't necessarily just drop San Antonio out of the playoffs either. So you could have Portland and Denver and San Antonio all fighting for the number 8 seed at this point.
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, I personally have San Antonio missing the playoffs next year just because I think that all the stuff is kind of hitting the fan for them.
Right.
And yes, if there's any organization on the planet that can make it, it is the Spurs. But I do think that they're, in the most Spurs way, this I will go on record for. The one thing I'm going on record for this entire podcast. I think the Spurs miss the playoffs, luck into some sort of ridiculous, like, top 3 pick in the draft. And then they're right back on top of the world in 2019. So that's my hot take for this podcast.
It's scary because that's happened in the past. So thanks for bringing that on us. Now that the West, it's like the West is what wasn't ridiculous enough. We got to have that.
Of course. Yeah.
So is there anything Portland can do between now and the start of the regular season? Is this the cast they're going to bring to the court on opening night? There's still some money they could spend. There's still some free agents out there, restricted and unrestricted. We talked about taking a chance on Jabari Parker. There's some other guys out there that you could maybe take a look at. Is there anybody that you would want them to look for here, or like for a forward or a small forward or a power forward? Or do you think that this is, for the most part, the roster they're going into opening day with?
I think this is the roster they're going into opening day with. I think Olshea is illogically pleased with this roster. I think that he's looking at his, big three and saying, we now have a couple extra guards who can come in and compliment those guys nicely. I don't think there's another signing to be made that would come across as a stretch to me. But if I'm Neil Olshea, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, I've written it in writing for Oregon Sports News. If I'm Neil Olshea, I'm trying to figure out what it would take to get Kawhi Leonard. Right. I know that RC Buford and Greg Popovich have collectively said we're not trading him to a Western Conference team. I think that's a leverage play. I don't think that is a truth fact. I think they would very much trade him to a Western Conference team. I do think they would be more hesitant to trade him to a team like the Lakers, just because of their history and more specifically because of how good the Lakers can be with a Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James combo. So if I'm Olshea, I'm saying, hey, we have a package that we can send you that is not necessarily going to make us a perennial title contender, and you don't have to worry about us because there's still LeBron James and the Rockets and the Warriors to deal with, but we're going to give you the best offer that you're going to receive. And if I'm Olshea, I'm just working the phones trying to make that happen, because I don't think there's another move out there that really does anything too significant. I think all the players you could have talked about are either signed at this point or traded, and so just trying to work the phones and see what you can do there makes the most sense to me. And again, that could be a stretch. Nothing could come from it. But I don't think anything's going to come from hitting the free agent market either. So you might as well try.
So to close out the program, I want to ask you, looking at Summer League and some of these exciting rookies, including the top five picks that are all playing, I believe, is there any players that you're watching that you're really getting a kick out of seeing in an NBA uniform? I know we talked a lot about Mo Bamba and DeAndre Ayton and Marvin Bagley, but is there anybody that you're seeing in these games that you're really excited to see play against NBA talent?
Two guys. I love watching Trae Young right now because I just don't know if he's going to be Stephen Curry or Monte Ellis.
He's my hero for tripping Grayson Allen the other night.
Yeah, cool. There you go. Yep. I think that Trae Young very well could be the next Stephen Curry light, maybe even Stephen Curry. I think he could also be Monte Ellis or any other volume scorer who goes weeks on end shooting 11% from the three-point line. I think that he is going to be a fantastic case study as to whether or not this style of NBA is going to continue. And so I'm very excited to see what he can do. To be honest, whether he fails or thrives, I'm very curious to watch him. The other guy, though, I'm looking at for two very specific reasons. His name's Kevin Knox. And first of all, the New York Knicks fan base, honestly, at this point, boos its players just because they want to provide motivation, right? We saw the kid go viral for crying during the Kristaps Porzingis pick. And now that kid is famous for like sitting courtside and cheering on Kristaps, because Kristaps Porzingis is the original unicorn. I think it's a great story. And I think that the Knicks fan base could look at this Knox kid and say, hey, we booed you and gave you the motivation you need. And by the way, he is killing it in Summer League right now. Everybody is loving this guy. So I'm not going to take like any rational take and say he's going to be the rookie of the year. But I do really like what he's doing, especially considering the New York media and fan base adversity. But I will also admit that the reason I love this Knox kid is because all over Twitter this last week, I've seen like Knox going hard to the rim. Nobody does it like Knox. Knox facing adversity and succeeding. And I'm like, yeah, how about another Knox doing that? And it makes me feel like
that's enough
like
home brewing for you.
It's an extension of my own familial line or something. I am
so is
pretty
Amanda
sure
Knox,
we don't have any lines in
route.
Common. But no, we'll ignore that one. Although I do have people saying we look like brother and sister, but that's a topic for another day.
Always ignore that topic.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to see people like really raving about Knox. I mean, like, yeah, that Knox kid.
Like, see, they're finally figuring out what's up. I've known this for a long time, but you guys are finally getting it. That's good. You know, we hear about the East Coast bias, but it's nice to see they're finally chanting your name over there the way we do over here.
There it is.
Well, we're up against the clock, so we got to back out and sign out. But thanks again, Bryant, for being on. This has been a great show and been a lot of fun to do it with you. We'll definitely have you back on soon. We know we got to talk NFL here coming up right around the corner. You've got some Miami Dolphins stuff to talk about. We got to get those demons out of your system before the new year. It's a whole new season. I've got some Green Bay demons I need to talk about. We've got some Seattle Seahawks news we need to discuss, but that's all for the future. If you haven't already, please check him out. He's at Bryant Knox on Twitter. He's Bryant Knox on OregonSportsNews.com. Make sure you check him out there. Thanks for checking us out on the show. We appreciate you guys listening every week. We know you're diehard fans out there, and we love you for it. So thank you, Bryant. Thank you, listeners. And thank you, Oregon Sports News, for existing. We love you all. And stay classy and stay tuned.